Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This is a classic bit of American soul, originally recorded by Spencer Wiggins, but now done by Zeeshan Bee. Zeeshan is a first-generation Indian Muslim born in Chicago and comfortable performing both music from South Asia and from Memphis. And why wouldn't he be? He's got a great voice. His debut album is called Vetted, and it's full of old covers and a few original songs, which also have the sounds of soul and the blues. You can tell the originals, though, because they're sung in Punjabi or Urdu. Here is Zeeshan Bee and his band The Transistors to play one of those for us. It's called Mary John, live on Soundcheck. That is Zeeshan Bee and the Transistors live here in the Soundcheck studio, and that is Zeeshan's song called Mary John, sung in Urdu, but man, that is pure American bluesy goodness there. Zee, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
Zeeshan Bee, Zeeshan Bhagawati, singing and playing the harmonium. The band includes Stuart Mindeman on our piano, Greg Artry behind our drum kit, Jeremiah Hunt playing his own bass, and Samuel Mershing playing the guitar, Greg Ward on saxophone. You, Zee, seem a little too young for both the early kind of blues stuff and the little skirls of Indian classical or light classical music that we heard just at the very end there. How did you come to this music?
Well, I think that, you know, growing up in Chicago had a lot to do with it. You know, Chicago is a town with a great musical heritage, mm-hmm. and
especially the blues, especially the electric blues.
Yeah. And there is very much a Chicago cross Memphis connection that you know had a lot to do with how those sounds came up there and how Chicago blues, you know, was developed. But I think that growing up in that city, you know, kind of filled me with an appreciation for that. And I also feel pretty lucky that, you know, my mom and dad listened to this kind of stuff growing up. Blues, you know, soul and all that, as well as the stuff from India and Pakistan.
Well, now, unlike you, your parents grew up in the subcontinent, right?
Oh, yeah. My dad, his story is kind of interesting. He was a print journalist. He was a freelance journalist, and he covered the civil rights movement and the late 60s. This we're talking about, mm-hmm. like the Panthers and, you know, and as well as like the literary movement that was going on. He was, you know, really into, you know, Assata Shakur and Amiri Baraka, Angela Davis, you know, those thought leaders and those writers. I guess that, you know, he just sort of came with the territory. He just really liked the music that was coming from there. It did make its way over in India by way of, I think, some pirated records here and there. But, you know, he got on it. And then, you know, my mom also was into that as well. And I guess, you know, they brought it over to me.
Yeah. So you grew up sort of bilingual musically.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And what is your second language? Is it Punjabi or is it Urdu?
Urdu would be my second language. Punjabi, I can kind of fake my way through it.
Yeah. And this song was in Urdu, right?
This was in Urdu, yeah. So this was, you know, I sound a little more native. My Punjabi, I've learned quite a bit of it over the years. And that's what's kind of cool about, like, learning Urdu or Hindi. It's a great gateway language to the other languages in the subcontinent of India, you know. I'd like to learn Bengali. I'd like to learn Marathi, Gujarati. And what's amazing about, you talk about my parents, I mean, people think it's cool that I'm, you know, trilingual or whatever, but, you know, these cats, they were growing up, they were speaking six different languages at one time, and it was like, oh, we just had to be able to speak these languages, you
right,
know?
Right.
So it's great to kind of have had all of those influences.
What does Mary John mean in English?
Mary John means my baby.
Okay.
And my baby is my baby, 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 baby. That's basically it, right?
I mean, if you had to guess just from the sound of the song, that's probably what most people would have guessed.
That's what's great. I think that, you know, we've been so fortunate where we go and play an audience for audiences that you know, obviously don't speak a word of Urdu, but they get it. They get the headspace. They get the sentiments behind the stuff, you know. And that's,
well, especially in the context of all these great early 70s soul and R&B songs that you do cover on the record.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the record for, you're first generation Indian American. You're also Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And the album title is Vetted.
Mm.
So, you know, maybe a year ago that wouldn't have struck people as a political title. It certainly does now.
Yes.
So how much, you know, growing up with a father who covered the civil rights movement, I mean, how much do you try and separate art from politics, or is that a fool's errand to even try?
I think it's I think it's kind of difficult to separate those two. I really believe in what Nina Simone said, that, you know, an artist must reflect the times that they live in. And that doesn't mean you have to make overt statements of for one thing or the other, but I think that the zeitgeist of any time is, you know, apparent in good music. And as far as, you know, insofar as the title of Vetted, I feel that, you know, I've, for better or for worse, throughout my entire life been vetted, you know, in one way or the other to get to wherever I am. I believe that as an Indian American, as a Muslim American, that's a narrative of, you know, of immigrants, Muslim immigrants, that's largely a narrative of, you know, later on down the road, privilege, you know, and I came from that. I don't make any pretenses about that. But I've been vetted and it worked out for me, but there are many who have been vetted and it hasn't worked out for them. And specifically disenfranchised minorities like blacks, Hispanics, you know, Native Americans.
There is a song on the record that you cover called Crying in the Streets, which is, you know, some of the more obscure soul corners are being explored on this record.
Mm-hmm.
And this song was really the one and only hit for a guy named George Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
And it relates to Martin Luther King's funeral.
It does. And I felt that it's very, it just speaks a lot to the times we live in now. I see somebody marching, marching down the street.
I hear somebody cry.
Called Crying in the Streets, originally recorded by George Perkins and now re-recorded by Zeeshan B on his album called Vetted. If you're going to be a soul singer, Z, you need to have a good falsetto, right?
Yes.
You put to good use in that song.
I try. I just wear tight underwear and, you know, hope it'll all work out fine, you know?
Very nice. Now, you playing this kind of music on the harmonium, mm-hmm. I mean, the harmonium is, yours is a specifically Indian version of mm-hmm. the instrument,
mm-hmm.
right?
Correct. The Portuguese, they brought over the harmoniums when they're spreading the good gospel, and the Indians took it, and that was actually more of like a seated organ, you know, and the Indians, they took it, and they said, well, let's make this a little bit more, you know, travel friendly and
right.
You know,
well,
and
so they also Indians tend to sit on the floor, than at a chair.
That's the other thing. That's interesting how all these things, these cultures sort of intersect. The Indians tend to sit on the floor in their classical concerts and in their semi-classical concerts. And so they you know, made some modifications to such that somebody can sit on the floor and play.
Yeah.
And now it's interesting that a harmonium is just synonymous with Indian and Pakistani music, you know, and it was kind of taken it and yeah. you know, ran with it.
When did you start writing your own songs?
I started writing my own music after I got out of college. I went to music school at Northwestern in Chicago. I studied opera, actually.
Really?
Yeah. And I even made my debut here in New York in a production of Don Giovanni. And when I came back home that summer, I love classical music. This is not, you know, a knock or anything. I felt kind of constricted with the performance practices of classical music that are, you know, I think a little more rigid than, you know, writing your own stuff. And I felt kind of bogged down by people telling me what to do and how I should be and how I should sound, where I just kind of wanted to do my own thing. And so I, you know, started writing my own stuff. And it's, you know, I think that it's a very cathartic thing to do.
And when you started writing, did you start writing in English or was it in Urdu?
I wrote some stuff in English. I hated it. and I just I just couldn't really get behind it, and I felt that Urdu, what's nice about Urdu is that there's just like this enormous anthology of poetry that's in the public domain and, you know,
right.
and is just a lot more imaginative than the stuff I was writing in English. And so I just said, well, let's take this and, you know, Urdu is such a beautiful language. It sounds so nice. And I said, well, let's, you know, put some chords behind it, put some, you know, melodies behind it. And I guess here we are.
So the song you're going to do next for us, Ki Jana,
mm-hmm.
this is like an old Sufi poem.
This is an old Sufi poem. Well, you know your stuff, John. Whoa, man. some people come, is that a melismatic chant you're doing? No. Is that Gregorian chant? No. No, this is a poem, an epic poem by the Sufi saint Bulle Shah. Really a treasure for, you know, people in India, especially in Punjab. And people take their literature and their poetry real seriously. And he wrote some beautiful, beautiful stuff. This one's an existential piece, kind of pondering. Ki Jana Mekon means, like, who am I? Does anyone know who I am? I'm neither a sinner, nor am I a believer. I'm neither an angel, nor am I the devil. I'm neither Moses, nor am I the Pharaoh. You know, who am I? And so, yeah, we've kind of put our own little touch on it.
Yeah, a very American kind of 1970 touch
yes.
on it.
Yes.
You want to
yes.
play it for us?
I would love to. I'd love to.
All right, Zeeshan B. The album is called Vetted. The song is called Kijana. Existential questioning never sounded quite so funky as it does in that song called Kijana, written by Zeeshan Bhagawati, Zeeshan B, and you'll find a version of that on his debut full-length album called Vetted, that a live performance here in the Soundcheck studio. And there really is, you know, this has become a kind of a universal sound, you know, this classic soul, funk, R&B thing. So really no surprise that your parents growing up in India would have, you know, been somewhat aware of it. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, you think of the youth in America today. I mean, I'm like, how old do I sound now? These kids today!
Back in my day, we didn't have days.
The kids who do know this music know it because it's been sampled, you know, on a hip-hop record or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
So with the kind of the politics that you were talking about before and your own alliance with the Black Lives Matter movement and things like that, is there the lure of trying to reach this generation with its own music as opposed to this music from a previous generation?
I think that, you know, the great hip-hop artists and, you know, whether it be... and I like the old stuff. I like, you know, Afrika Bambaataa, you know, Furious Five, you know, Kool Herc. I mean, these cats, they understood the aesthetics.
You realize you are now, again, in a previous generation's
music. Well,
that's
true. That's true. But I'm saying, I think that stuff still has universality. And I think that people still listen to that, even young people, because anything that just has a groove, you know, people get into it. Whether it's, you know, some hipster living in Williamsburg, or it's, you know, my grandparents who lived in Toledo, Ohio, you know, something with a groove is always going to, you know, get people kind of, you know, riled up. As far as, you know, the whole hip hop thing, I think that musicians need to continue to innovate and continue to understand their times, the times that they live in, you know. And I think that I'll continue to do that as an artist. I'd like to see myself evolve and adopt, you know, all, you know, different things. Who knows what that'll be, you know. I'm already tired of this album. I want to do another one, you know. and who knows, maybe that'll have some dubstep in it, you know. Probably not. But you know, I think that...
But the option is there.
The option is there. And I think that even those people... I think that with this music, even the people that listen to that stuff can get into this because of the fact that it's groovy, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing is, you know, it's a debut album and yet you're checking off all the late night TV shows and you've played for presidents and, you know, comedians. And so, yeah, it's certainly spreading the word out there. And now, of course... You get your sound check bump.
I do, man. Wow.
Z, it's been great having you in the band here with us today.
My
thank
pleasure,
you so
Don.
Much.
Thank you for having us.
When you were mine, oh, I was feeling so good. 'Cause you loved me up, this whole neighborhood.
That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Follow us at Soundcheck on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at Soundcheck Radio. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Light production work provided by the New Sound staff, Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.
Without you there, things have changed.